that will send you to some strange places. Let's talk about it on this edition of P-Life.
That's the Foghorn Poised of Steve Brown. And this is Key Life, designed to get you home with freedom, joy, and faithfulness. If that is your desire, stay tuned as Steve opens God's Word.
Thanks, Mike. Jonah is our book as we continue with our Old Testament survey. I think yesterday I offended just about everybody, so there may not be anybody listening. We've looked at some introductory remarks about the book of Jonah. Frankly, we're not sure of the date or much about Jonah. He's only referred to once or twice in the Old Testament. We know that Nineveh was destroyed in 612 B.C., so we would date this about 725 B.C. We looked at the story, and then we saw the outline, a very short outline, of the book of Jonah, chapters 1 through 2, Jonah's commission and disobedience, chapters 3 through 4, Jonah's recommission, his repentance, and the result. And then we're looking at three major themes in the book of Jonah. We looked at two of them. They overlap with one another. The first is the universal concern of God. If you worship a little God, you're going to have little things happening in your life as a result of your worship of a little God. But if you see a God who speaks a lot of different languages, who is concerned with the universe, with the entire world, when pagans say, think globally, you got to be a little bit careful. When God says, think globally, he says, think my thoughts after me. And the second major theme we saw yesterday is the provincial nature of human beings, especially believers. We just had a discussion at a staff lunch today about the worship wars. Boy, I'll tell you, I mean, people are ready to become Buddhist over this thing. We were having some friends who were at our staff lunch who were from another city. They do sound for us, Mike and Sarah Melcher, and they were talking about the difference between a traditional service and a contemporary service. And the new kinds of things they were starting in their journey, and that led to the conversation about the worship wars. Now, I realize there's some theological implications to the way we worship, but I fear that sometimes we bring the theological implications to our taste, and it has to do whether you say tomato or I say tomato. It has to do with the kind of music I like, the kind of worship that makes me feel good, when in fact, the kind of worship that we do is for God himself. But we are very provincial. We want to be with people like us and do things the way they do it, because they do it the way we do it. And then there's a third major theme, and that's the unlikely mission of the people of God. You know what the church growth people say? They say that God leads to the place where there are results. Well, I'll tell you something. If God saw the church growth principle as important here, Nineveh wouldn't be the place where anybody would want to go. Why is that? Because Nineveh had been the historic enemy of Israel. And these were not nice people. They practiced sacrifice before pagans, a human sacrifice before pagans, God. When they would win a battle, the captives would be paraded through the streets, and then they would be impaled on stakes, and their heads would be cut off to the cheering crowd. I'll tell you, these are not nice people. This is not where I want to go on the mission field. I mean, I want to go to a real nice place like Hawaii or Bahamas or something. But God will send you to some really funny people to give the gospel to people that you would think would never accept it in a million years. Are there some people in your acquaintance that you're thinking, I don't mind sharing with almost anybody, but that is a hopeless case? I remember one lady that I'd been sharing the gospel with 40 times. I decided she has a hard heart. She's not of the elect. I'm going to do it one more time, and that's it. She can go and leave me alone. And I told her one more time about Jesus, and she said, Steve, why didn't you tell me this before? And I said, Sarah, I told you 40 times. You didn't listen. She said, you never told me this before. I said, yes, I did. I'm a communicator. I know how to communicate. She said, no, you didn't. I said, yes, I did. And then I said, but do you want to receive Christ? And she said, yes, I do. And she did. And you have no idea what that does to a Calvinist to see a member of the non-elect being led to Christ. If you have somebody you've given up on, somebody that you think, well, go do it at least one more time. Is there a nation that's Islamic where they do bad things to Christian missionaries? We need to focus in those places because God is doing some very, very important things. You ever done those beach ministry things? If you were in InterVarsity or Campus Crusade for Christ or Campus Outreach or RUF, you probably went on the beach and you witnessed the people. They invited me to do that with Campus Crusade for Christ down in Hyannisport on Cape Cod one time. And they didn't want me to go out on the beach because when I go out on the beach, I look like a dirty old man. So they went through the town and they rounded up every drunk and every reprobate in that town, put them in an auditorium, and without an introduction said, all right, Steve, you speak to them. And I thought, Lord, this is hopeless. This is not going to happen. What in the world was I thinking when I said I would do that? And then he said, tell them about me, and I did, as softly and as gently and as simply as I knew how. And I want you to know, there were tears that night as people came before the throne of grace. Have you given up on somebody? Don't, because God may be sending you there. You think about that. Amen. Well, it is our practice on Wednesdays to answer some questions at the end of the broadcast. And by the way, tomorrow we're going to get into some of the text in the book of Jonah. But today I want to answer some questions, and we love to get your questions, but you have to write them down. Don't use the 1-800 Key Life number for questions. You can order the magazine, get the booklet, Christmas Meditations free. You can become a part of Key Life Tape CD Family free. You can make a contribution, but you got to write your question down. Send it to Key Life, Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794, or Key Life Canada, Post Office Box 32150, Cambridge, Ontario, N3H5N3, or you can email us, steve@keylife.org, with your regular mailing address if you want a response. And you always get a response from me or a staff person or on the broadcast or in the magazine. And listen, if you're a pastor, don't forget about our Pooped Pastors Conference. Or if you're going to tell your leadership, you can call it ecclesiastical and existential renewal in the context of postmodernity. And it's going to be in January 23rd through 25th in Orlando, where it's warm in January. We worked out some wonderful deals with the hotels here, so you can come. Talk to your pastor about it. Go to our webpage, that's keylife.org, or give us a call. We'll send you a brochure. All right, let's turn to some of these questions. My pastor will be on Friday, and we'll be answering questions then. This is an email. What do you think about lordship salvation? Now, you need to know that that is a particular issue that is a part of a theological position called dispensationalism. And those who divide that issue say that you can be a carnal Christian, that's a fleshly Christian, or I'm doing the best I can, or you can be a spiritual Christian. And they take Paul's teaching there, and they make it pretty divided there. Now, you need to know that that's not my issue. I don't think that Jesus can be Lord and Savior, and you can divide that. I think he's both. When you go to Jesus, you go to Jesus. However, I think I would, were I dispensationalist, I would divide on the side of those who say that you can be saved and still not be obedient. How do I know that? Because there have been times in my life when I'm not obedient. I still have to confess and repent every day. I'm better than I was, but I do see Jesus as Lord. And I think salvation comes one way, and that is by faith in Christ alone. And whenever you add works to that, you've got a very serious problem. I was reading this morning a statement by Brian Chappell, who is the president of Covenant Seminary in St. Louis. And he said the reason sometimes we don't do works well is because if we did, we would think that God loves us because we're obedient. And when we start thinking that God loves us when we're obedient, we might as well be Buddhist because Jesus went through a whole lot of trouble. So out of our faith, there does come obedience. But the issue is his salvation and not ours. So Lordship salvation, if it says you can't be saved unless you're obedient, and you can't stay saved unless you're obedient, I have some serious problems with that. This is from Massachusetts. Why is the God of the Old Testament so different from the God of the New Testament? You never listen to me. That's what I've been doing for the last 10,000 months as we're going through the Old Testament, suggesting that it's the same God. There isn't a different God. You'll find some of the most wonderful, and we're looking at it. In the book, in the Old Testament, you find some teaching that is so loving and so gracious that you can hardly stand it. Go read the book of Hosea. You remember he married a prostitute by the name of Gomer, and she went back into prostitution, and he went down to the slave market, and he bought her back, and God taught Hosea that that was the nature of the God of the universe. Do we find wrath in the Old Testament? Yeah. But you find wrath in the New Testament, too. Look at Calvary. All of God's wrath poured out on a totally innocent man. Now, there are different emphases in both the Old and the New Testament. God is laying the groundwork for the time when he would enter time and space and be friends of wine bibbers and sinners, the sick and the lonely, the sinful, the empty, the guilty. God said, you're all that way, and that's why it had to come, and that's why there had to be a cross. And so I don't think there's any different God in the Old Testament than there is in the New Testament. And if you think there is, you need to listen to more of Key Life as we go through an Old Testament survey. And this is from Ohio. What does heaven look like? Well, we don't know. Only one person has been there and come back to talk about it, and he didn't give us any details. But it's going to be better than you think, more than you can possibly imagine, and you don't want to miss it. Guys, I'm out of time. Got to get out of here. Whenever you write or call, would you do me a favor and give me the call letters of this great station where you hear Key Life? Oh, yes. Key Life is a listener-supported production of Key Life Network.